DW Africa Link.
In Zambia, a dire healthcare crisis is rapidly unfolding. Following allegations of widespread theft of medical supplies, the United States Agency for International Development has halted funding, leaving hospitals devoid of essential drugs and patients in desperate need of care. This abrupt move has laid bare profound weaknesses in Zambia's public health system, sparking immediate concerns about accountability, sovereignty, and the true cost of foreign aid. Stay tuned as we delve deeper into this urgent issue. My name is Josephine Mahachi. Welcome to Africa Link, the podcast that connects you to the stories that matter from Africa.
Africa Link, every weekday here on DW.
The United States has made a definite move to cut $50 million in annual health aid to Zambia, clearly stating that the decision stems from the government's failure to tackle the systemic theft of donated medicines and medical supplies. While the Trump administration is reviewing foreign aid more broadly, U.S. Ambassador to Zambia, Michael Gonzalez, has firmly asserted that this decision stands independently from that review. In response, Zambia's Ministry of Health has acknowledged the ambassador's concerns and has admitted that the theft of medical supplies is a persistent issue that has been evident long before 2021. Now, the million-dollar question we must confront is, what are the consequences when one of the world's largest donors pulls critical funding from a healthcare system already on the verge of collapse? Who is held accountable when lives are on the line? Joining me for this essential conversation are Dr. Oliver Kaoma, Secretary General of the Zambia Medical Association, and DW's correspondent in Lusaka, Kathy Short. I'll start with you, Kathy, our reporter on the ground, just to give us a brief overview of what exactly is happening, to the point that we saw the ambassador, the U.S. ambassador in Zambia, crying at a press conference. Are Zambians not embarrassed about this?
It's such a sad situation because the U.S. government provides significant support to Zambia's health sector, especially through the president's emergency plan for AIDS relief, PEPFAR, and also the U.S. Agency for International Development, USAID. But as we know, those cuts also are coming to Zambia, the USAID cuts. So really, it's very devastating. And the U.S. ambassador, when he was giving a press conference, he said that his team and had more than 30 meetings with Zambian government officials. But according to him, nothing much was done. And the U.S. assistance to Zambia involves HIV/AIDS prevention, treatment and care, maternal and child health, public health infrastructure, and basic health care. So we really depend so much on the U.S.
Yes, Dr. Kaoma, now just to throw in the mic to you, if you can also maybe add something on that, and also telling us about the implications of this U.S. government's decision to withdraw funding for healthcare programs in Zambia.
All right. Thank you very much for having us. Firstly, I'll begin by just introducing the association that I belong to, under which I sit as the Secretary General, which is the Zambia Medical Association. We are the primary representatives of the medical profession in Zambia. And rightly so, the news about funding withdrawal by the U.S. Government amounting to $50 million comes as a shock. And also, it's also devastating in that this is a major financing gap that is going to be created and has a tremendous impact on the way services will be delivered as far as provision of antiretroviral therapy, antimalarials, and tuberculosis medication. You may be aware that the U.S. government, through USAID, and rightly mentioned the President's Emergency Fund, has been supporting not only Zambia, but numerous African countries mitigating or trying to combat the challenges that are healthcare challenges as far as HIV, TB, and malaria are concerned. So recently, as it is already in the public domain, the U.S. ambassador to Zambia did announce that the U.S. government would be withdrawing that amount of $50 million, which was primarily targeting antiretroviral therapy provision, anti-malarial medications, and tuberculosis medication. Not only limiting to that, we know that the support extends way beyond the thematic areas or the areas of concern that I've mentioned. And for us as an association, this comes as great concern because Zambia has made tremendous success as far as attaining the 95-95 targets, which were set by the World Health Organization. We were looking at 95% of people living with HIV knowing their status, 95% who know their status being on treatment, and the other 95 actually being able to have viral load suppression. I'll just give you a brief understanding of where we are at in terms of the HIV burden in Zambia. Currently, we have about 1.3 million people out of a population of 22 million Zambians. 1.3 are living with HIV and AIDS. And of recent data, 80% of these are already on treatment on antiretroviral therapy. And the country has really made tremendous strides in bringing HIV under control. Coming to tuberculosis, a number of programs that we are being supported through this financing, we might close or regress. So our major fear is that there will be that impact. We might see a resurgence of the HIV and AIDS burden coming back to the fore in terms of it being a major or number one public health threat. Additionally, tuberculosis, which is mostly a co-infection of those who might be living with HIV and AIDS, we might regress because currently we are looking at 400,000 cases in terms of incidents just on tuberculosis alone. So as an association, we are aware of numerous programs that were supported by this financing line, which now that it's withdrawn, the government would have to find alternative means of sustaining these programs and ensuring that we provide the much needed life-saving treatment, life-saving interventions to our people.
Thank you so much for that insightful explanation. But I'm also just wondering, how are these medications being stolen exactly? I mean, because every hospital, every pharmacy, I don't know how or where they are being stolen. If you can just take us through that for our listeners to understand how it's possible for medication that has been brought into the country to just find its own way into other people's homes or factories or other countries.
So really, I'm not an expert in that field. The investigative wings are currently on the ground in ensuring that the report that was done by a forensic audit that was called for by the Republican president, they are on the ground to try and establish where the leakages are. But one thing I would tell you that as an association, we understand is that within the supply chain, from the point of dispatch to the point of delivery to various health facilities, we do not have proper systems that will account for medications, especially at the point of dispensation. I know there are inventory systems that we have, like the ELMIS, which helps us monitor inventory from the warehouses or the storage facilities to when medications are delivered. So the question really, that is the biggest question that remains to be answered by the authorities. And generally, that's the biggest question that the country faces right now, to know where exactly this leakage is happening. However, due to the deficiencies in the system, especially at dispensation points, we may allege that probably that's where medications may be going missing. Interesting enough, you may find that medications like antiretrovirals and TB drugs, these are provided for free in health facilities. So it's quite unusual that these medications are going missing because no one really buys these medications off the counter. They are prescribed by health professionals and they are obtained from health facilities. So in the likeliest of instances, what is may probably be happening is that these may be institutions that are not even legally registered, or institutions that are found in remote locations where oversight by regulatory authorities may be very minimal. Unlike advanced communities where from the point of dispatch to dispensation, there's that tracking mechanism. That is why for us as an association, we've been recommending to the government to adopt and incorporate the advancements in health technologies or advancements in technology to ensure that we monitor every tablet that leaves the warehouse up to the point where the recipient receives. And there must be a mechanism that shows that this individual who has gone to facility A has received 50 tablets, has received 80 tablets, as opposed to it just being written on paper, because then there's room for manipulation at that point.
Right, right. Now, Kathy, as you pitch this story, definitely I'm sure you've also done your brief background check. If you can also add to that, you know how exactly this medication is being stolen in the country. And what are your thoughts as well from the journalistic point of view on the systemic theft of these drugs in the healthcare system?
Yeah, this is not a new story, so to speak. It's been happening for a long, long time. And we've had media reports in the past where, you know, a truck supposedly carrying medication just lands in a different area without, you know, authorization and things like that, especially when the medication is being transported. There have been those reports, especially Ministry of Health has been a target and a culprit in the past. I remember also in the 1990s, or is it 2000s, when the donors also stopped supporting the Zambian health sector because of corruption and stealing of drugs. So it's not really a new problem. But what is different now is that it is the scale of this problem, you know, growing. And the theft of medical drugs, it's a widespread problem, with reports indicating that many pharmacies are selling stolen medications that were intended for free distribution, as Dr. Kaoma has said. And according to the U.S. Embassy, it found that over 2,000 pharmacies were selling donated drugs and medical supplies, with 95% of those pharmacies also allegedly selling stolen goods. But I must also hasten to say, Josie, that the Pharmaceutical Society of Zambia has come to the defense of registered pharmacies, stating that the theft of medicines is more prevalent in illegal outlets than licensed pharmacies. But the investigations are ongoing. So this suggests that the issue is not confined to a few isolated incidents, but is a systemic problem that is affecting a significant portion of the pharmacy sector countrywide. So really, it is a big problem. And I must say that in addition to the theft of drugs intended for free distribution, pharmacies were also found selling stolen medical stocks that were bought by the Zambian government, the Global Fund, and other donor partners. So this indicates that the problem extends beyond just the donated drugs, and also includes medical supplies that are bought by government and international organizations. And what we hear, Josie, from ordinary Zambians that normally go to government hospitals, most of the times you find that they are told to buy prescription medicine. And some of them have told us as journalists that they are told that, okay, you need to buy medicine A, but go to that pharmacy, they have the medicine. So these are some of the things that we've been hearing on the ground, you know, even before the UPND was voted into office. As I was doing my reporting, I heard the people standing on the queues, you know, before voting, saying they didn't want the persistent shortages of medicines to go on.
But I just want to also find out what the government's response has been so far, since the U.S. ambassador came to say, you know what, we're stopping this, but it doesn't have anything to do with the USAID cuts that were actually introduced by President Donald Trump. What's been the government's response so far?
So the president, Hakainde Hichilema, warned that those stealing drugs will be arrested and that stealing medicines will now be classified as an economic crime. And Zambia's foreign minister, on the other hand, warned diplomats against interfering in the country's affairs. That was days after the U.S. ambassador raised concerns about the theft of drugs.
Right. Now, Doctor, coming to you, you heard me probably mentioning when I started the show that this is also happening in Malawi. We had the same podcast discussion just last week, medication is also being smuggled into countries like South Africa. And I'm just sitting here thinking that probably this is a regional problem. And don't you think, as someone who's in this very important association, there should be a likelihood of a multilateral effort within SADC or maybe another regional body to compensate for the loss of these vital supplies? Because now it's people who are sick, who are suffering. But these culprits, this has been ongoing and it looks like it's expanding.
You are very right. It's a regional problem. At some point, it was in the media that certain trucks which were supposed to transport medication to a particular destination were found at the border. This was all over the media. It's not something that we are introducing now. And it calls for this multilateral collaboration between governments to ensure that border security is tightened and making sure that basically, drug theft is clamped even at border crossing points. Additionally, for me and for the association, really, I think this is time for the region, SADC, Southern Africa Development Community, countries within the region to wake up and put probably resources together to ensure that we invest in production mechanisms or production alternatives, so that we have self-reliance as far as production of these medications is concerned. Tightening security is a call to every country in the region so that the Zambian drugs do not find themselves in South Africa, Malawian drugs do not find themselves either in Zambia or any other country. I think it's something that requires state collaboration at that level as well.
Now, Kathy, I was going to ask, why is Zambia in this day and age still depend highly on foreign countries to support its healthcare system and education? But the doctor also mentioned here that there are plans rather for some medication to be produced in the country. But just as we wrap up our discussion to talk about the issue to do with impact on the patient care and health outcomes in Zambia, and also how the media actually is reporting on this to ensure that there's awareness. And if someone is insisting that you should go and buy medication from this pharmacy, that should all be investigated.
So Zambia's dependence on foreign support for healthcare is as a result of several factors, including the high debt burden. As you know, we were the first country, during COVID time that defaulted on the debt, and now we've been going through a debt restructuring program, limited domestic health financing, and also the prevalence of health challenges like HIV, AIDS, and malaria, as well as tuberculosis. So this has seen donors play a critical role in providing essential services, especially in remote areas and specific disease programs. So when we talk about the impact, the theft of drugs in Zambia is significantly harming patients and the healthcare system by directly impacting the availability and accessibility of life-saving medications, especially antiretroviral drugs for HIV treatment. And like Dr. Kaoma has said, we had done so well in this area. I remember even the story I was doing for DW in Petauke in December about the 95% target set by the UN, the United Nations. So we see poor people, ordinary people suffering. And for us as the media, we need to continue to report on these issues because we are part of the system, to get information from the stakeholders and share it with the public to raise awareness that stealing drugs is actually likened to killing, the ordinary people that need the medicine. And for some of them, it could actually save their lives. So it's something that we need to, you know, to work together as a team, together with the Zambia Medical Association of Zambia, the government of the Republic of Zambia, the donors, and also the various communities that are working, you know, in all these areas, including the Pharmaceutical Association of Zambia. So it's a multi-pronged approach. And I think also even for us as journalists to get more interested in health issues, because health is wealth. And without health, no one can do anything. We all need doctors. We need to be in good health.
Now, Doctor, wrapping up also the discussion with you there, your words of advice to your colleagues, because obviously this syndicate also involves some people who are in the healthcare system, who are the healthcare industry. We can obviously allegedly say some doctors are involved in the public hospitals, probably in the private, the pharmacists. And also, if you are to meet President Hakainde Hichilema right now, what advice you would give him from the health association point of view?
I must just mention that indeed the alleged perpetrators of this vice allegedly healthcare professionals. However, I must be proud to mention here that all so far of the people that have been apprehended by the authorities, we do not have any medical doctors. That goes to speak to the integrity of our professionals, as well as them upholding the oath that they took to ensure that they provide services and putting the interests of the patients first. So for that, as an association, we continue to encourage Zambia Medical Association members, especially the doctors and the dental surgeons, to continue upholding the oath. Just a message to other healthcare professionals that may be implicated eventually in this is that for us, we have no kind words for individuals that steal life-saving medication, because that is basically sentencing someone to death. Imagine depriving HIV treatment to individuals, tuberculosis treatment to an individual because of self-interest. We are calling on the authorities to ensure that they bring people who are involved in this to book, and they should face the maximum sentence punishable by law. It's not something that we condone, and it's something that we want to be brought to an end as soon as possible so that we can achieve universal health coverage and deliver services as and when they are needed to our people. We will continue our advocacy to the government, and we know the Republican president has made serious pronouncements, including criminalizing as well as increasing the punishment of theft of medications, and we commend the government for taking that step. We further want to implore the government to disclose and quickly push the enforcement agencies to do their job and wrap up the investigations so that we can begin closing the gaps as far as drug pilferage is concerned. Additionally, we would like to urge the government to invest in technology, because we know that tracking mechanisms are in existence in other regions, and especially the Global North, we have monitoring systems that allow them to monitor a real-time inventory of medications from the dispatch units to the point of dispensation to a client or a patient. So we call on the government to invest in this technology and ensure that we can then put an end to this problem. And one final word really is to the Ministry of Health, which is the sector really has been facing negative publicity for quite some time as far as drugs are concerned. I think it is something that we looked into and brought those at fault to book. For us, as Zambia Medical Association, we'll continue playing the advocacy role and we'll continue advising government as well as the public on health matters when necessary.
Right. Thank you so much, Dr. Oliver Kaoma and Kathy Short from Lusaka, our correspondent, for joining us here on DW Africa Link podcast.
Get the stories that are shaping the continent here on Africa Link.
At the Africa Link podcast, we always look across the continent to see how the stories we are dealing with play out or at times even overlap. Some leaders have supported former President Donald Trump's move to shut down US aid. Kenyan lawyer and academic Professor Pierre Lumumba and Rwandan President Paul Kagame are among them. Despite Rwanda being a major recipient of U.S. aid, Kagame told CNN, open quotes, "I have never been a fan of foreign aid," end of quote, and stressed that African countries must learn to be self-reliant. Addressing concerns over potential harm to Rwanda's development programs, Kagame responded, and I quote, "I believe that from being hurt, we might learn some valuable lessons." As global aid dynamics shift, African nations face the challenge and opportunity of investing in homegrown sustainable development strategies. That's it for this edition of Africa Link. Remember, you are not just a listener, but a vital part of our community. Your engagement can significantly influence the direction of our discussions. We deeply value your insights and strongly encourage you to share your thoughts with us. You can find all of the Africa Link podcast episodes on Spotify and Apple or wherever you listen to your podcasts from. This episode was co-produced and edited by Isaac Mugabe. My name is Josephine Mahachi. Thanks for listening. Until the next one, it's bye for now.
DW News.
Here are today's top news stories and why they matter. Let's begin in the Democratic Republic of Congo, DRC, where former President Joseph Kabila has been summoned by the Senate over allegations of treason. This follows the setting up of a special 40-member commission to examine the indictment of the country's Auditor General at the High Military Court, which is requesting a lifting of the immunities enjoyed by the former president. What does Kabila face if his immunities are revoked? DW Zainab Zaidi joins me now with some details. Zainab, for those who may not appreciate why this is happening, tell us how we got here.
After Ramos confirmed that Kabila had arrived in Goma, the judicial process accelerated, and this alleged move strengthened Kinshasa's suspicions that the former president had spent time in rebel territory, an act that could constitute grounds for an appearance before the military court on charges on high treason.
And finally, what happens if his immunity is lifted or otherwise?
If Joseph Kabila's immunities are lifted, he will undoubtedly be prosecuted for high treason, an offense of which he is accused. And if after investigation, the judges find him guilty of his offense, he will be sentenced to up to 10 years imprisonment.
Thank you for speaking with us, DW Zainab Zaidi from Kinshasa. Well, let's say in Central Africa, and tributes continue to pour in from the football world for Cameroon's Emmanuel Koundé, who was instrumental in the country's 1990 football run at the World Cup. Koundé died last Friday at the age of 66. Moving on, Ghana has handed over indefinite residence permits to about 500 refugees from Ivory Coast. The permits were handed in a special ceremony witnessed by representatives of the United Nations Refugee Agency, UNHCR, the Ghana Refugee Board, and the Ghana Immigration Service. Why is this important? The handing over of residence permits is seen as a boost towards the country's commitment to providing a safe haven for refugees and asylum seekers. Ghana's Interior Minister Muntaka Mubarak, however, cautioned the refugees that their permits are revocable if they fail to adhere to the laws and regulations of Ghana. And finally, U.S. President Donald Trump says Russia and Ukraine have agreed to an immediate ceasefire following his two-hour phone call with his Russian counterpart, Vladimir Putin. This phone call came just a day after Russia battered Ukraine with its largest drone attack since the war began in 2022. Thousands have been killed, with 1,000 others injured in what the U.S. president describes as a catastrophic bloodbath. Currently, neither Russia nor Ukraine have indicated a commitment to an immediate ceasefire, but an involvement of several actors, including the European Commission, France, Italy, and the Vatican, according to Trump, signals a positive step towards resolving the conflict. And I'll be all for today. Don't forget to leave a comment, do share, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, DW Africa. I am Ajua Domina.
DW, made for mind.